The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Forget no way they crucified Jesus Christ. I'll never forget no way they sold Marcus Garvey for rice.
What an absolutely gorgeous and beautiful day here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. This is Remark. I am your host, Garth Minard Roseborough. I'm here today joining you on a Youth March Sunday. For those of you who are now traveling on the road, you still have your radios on, tuned into 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. Go ahead and text your friend. Just pull on the side of the road and text your friend and let them know to tune in. This show today, I promise you, is going to hit the mark, as I'm having guests here today that will simply tell us exactly what politics is about here on a Sunday. I have behind the board Wally, my right hand, always does an exceptional job. Glad to have him here today. And we just want to give a very kind gesture and shout out, special acknowledgement, a moment for the lives of Daryl Miller, the lives of Philip Galanis, and the lives of Mr. Sidney Carroll. Three great Bahamians that I knew of personally. Mr. Daryl Miller, I've sat on many occasions with him during the political season last time and during previous shows. And then the Galanis family, those of you who have attended St. Augustine's College, like I did, graduated in 86. You have Shannon and Paul Galanis and the whole Galanis family, their mother, still alive and well, was very kind to us. She ran the canteen where we got our Borden's drinks and our hot patties. And the first time I ever had a twist in my life, I got it from there. Great food, great people, gave people free rides to school and free rides home in their bus. The Galanis family indeed is a great family. And then, of course, Mr. Sidney Carroll, one of the great agriculturalists of our country, who has the nursery on Carmichael West, I think it's Bahamas Palms. And he was also involved politically with Mr. Cassius Stewart and with other politics of the day, I think the DNA. But a great Bahamian hailing from Long Island, operated a few business enterprises. But today I also salute him as he has made his exit and his entrance at the same time into a new kingdom. Welcome once again to Remark. I am Garth Maynard Roseborough. I want to throw out the phone lines to you very quickly before I start this show. And while I'm doing that, like I said, just reach out to your neighbor, reach out to your friend, let them know that they too can join the conversation with these phone numbers. Let me give you the phone numbers first, and then I'll go ahead and introduce the guests that are here. Those that are stuck on the Youth March, I'll have them join us at a later time in the show. The telephone lines are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. If you have family and friends on the family of islands here in the Bahamas, the toll-free number is 300-5720. And you can text us, if you'd like, from anywhere at 422-4796. 422-4796. For those of you who are abroad in the United States of America, those throughout the Caribbean, those from Europe and the surrounding areas, I welcome you to the show, Remark. And sitting in with me today is another great host of Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, none other than our very, very good friend, Mr. Leonard Sands. Notice how I took my time to pronounce his name, because he is a Bahamian male that exuberates much strength. When you talk about people like Leonard Sands, and you talk about Wally, and you talk about Howard Grant, who is not here as yet but on his way, and then we are supposed to have in our attendance a beautiful flower, Miss Robin Dawn Lines. Like I said, we're having a youth march, and every corridor here is just about on lockdown. I had to circumnavigate and go through the ghetto. And that's one thing with us, you know, when we attain a certain level that we feel we're so educated and so highfalutin, you forget the ghetto, but anytime you need a little help, you know how to go back to the ghetto. Isn't that something?
It is, Fox.
The politician reaches into the highlands of society behind the gates in these communities out west, but anytime it's time for election, or they find themselves under the dilly tree or the thumb tree or the Segre tree, in the ghetto. And so I was able to meander my way through the ghetto to get here. And I'm thankful that the roads in the ghetto are not as bad as I thought they would have been. They're doing pretty much okay. But Leonard Sands, go ahead and introduce yourself, man, and let us know who you are. And I just want to brag about him. He has a show called Nailed It. Mm-hmm. And so I had to bring him on here today. So we're going to nail down some politics today. But go ahead, Mr. Leonard Sands.
Yeah. My name, thank you guys for the kind introduction. Of course, my name is Leonard Sands. I am the president of the Bahamian Contractors Association in One Light. I'm also a Bahamian. I wouldn't say anything beyond that, except I'm passionate about this country, about the direction, leadership of the country, which I believe we all participate in some shape and form. And so I'm very happy to be a part of the show and share some of the ideas and thoughts that we express off air, and hopefully it could be things that persons find interesting enough to engage us with.
I am listening to the conversations on the ground. I'm hearing people who now are part of the present government, who the Progressive Liberal Party is now heading, who are strong PLPs, who have said, well, you know what, they're disappointed. But then, of course, you also have the fanatical ones who are like, my government's doing a great job. Maybe some of them know something about this government that they're doing such a great job that maybe even I may not even know about. As for the royal opposition, the Free National Movement, I'm hearing many of them say that, you know, I don't think we're hitting the mark. I think we can do better. We can show greater strength. And then I had a friend of mine, an acquaintance, who stopped in front of my home on the weekend. What a surprise. And he said, Garth, long time no see, but his remark was very simple. Mm-hmm. He said to me that we are alive and well in the FNM. If you see the cadre of people sitting in the class for potential candidacy, you would be simply awestruck. That's what he said. As for the third parties, I think the strongest of them would be what they call the COI. Coalition of Independents, the mm-hmm. COI. Now, there are other groups that have been doing their part, but they're not as radical as the COI group is, and so they're more notarized. I've heard a lot more about them a year ago, but right now there's a calm. Is it a calm before the storm? Is something amiss, or simply they're dwindling and dying like the days of the DNA? These are things that are going through my mind. And in all of this, there's still the loyalty to party, it seems to me, more than a loyalty to nation building. When a party has definitely done something erroneous, there's still the forgiveness coming from their loyal party members. We're quick to point fingers at the other party, saying, you know what, they are just as bad as us, or they're worse than us. And in my estimation, Mr. Leonard Sands, this country has not gone any further in the last 10 or more years. Maybe you'd like to chime in on that, or if you have similar feelings, or you're hearing similar conversations, I would like to know. And the people would like to know.
Gosh, you said a lot. You touched on quite a number of things. And it's a lot to unpack. Let me just attempt to kind of get into one or two of the comments that you made. Firstly, I've said this to a lot of persons. Your understanding of where things are in this country is most often based on proximity to the situation. Now, I explain clearer than that. Where you and I live in the Western area, no, I should be very honest here. I can tell you that Odis is fine. Things good, Odis. I don't think there's any issues, Odis. And why? I don't live Odis. So I could presume, because I don't hear anything but Odis, Odis is fine. But I could tell you there's a pothole right before you get to Lazaretto that I've bumped in 4 times this week. Proximity to that. So I think in context of what you were saying, the persons that you may have engaged in, and they give you a feeling based on their political affiliations or parties, it's because of their proximity to it. But you mentioned the inner city, the ghetto was not. How the guy down in Padulio Street feel about the economy is different from how the guy inside Windsor Lane feels about it, or the guy inside San Susi, or the guy inside Boatswain. So we have to be very careful when we start becoming, when we begin to have these conversations that, and I said this a lot, we cannot take opinions to be the prevailing winds that determines the course of how we perceive politics. Now, that's very dangerous. And all of us do it. A talk show host is as persons who move around the country. You hang out in Kemp Road all day and you'll tell everyone that things are great because your friends are there. You hang out, you have a couple of drinks or what's not, and things are good. And then the guy just a couple streets over in Pairdale will tell you, man, we had 4 shootings in 2 weeks. So you can't speak on everything from that vantage point because you're not there. So generally, you have to look at some indicators. Now, what are they?
That's what we need to
do
know.
Do people feel that their lives are better? It's a dangerous word, though, today, because of the activity of this government, or do they not agree with that statement? That's a question. And if they say yes, I believe that they should be in a position to tell you why. Howard has been bringing a lot of persons on this show, and this week it'll be interesting of a talk with their staff, how people feel about their community and X, Y, and Z. And I hear the politicians and their responses talking about, remember it was 4 years ago we was in lockdown, or 3 years ago. Here's my response, and I smile as I listen to it. The entire world was in lockdown 3 years ago. Do we often, did we now attribute the greatness of Biden to the fact that they're not in lockdown? Because the reality of the situation is the world came out of lockdown. Wherever was lockdown, Europe came out of lockdown. Africa came out of lockdown. Everywhere came out of lockdown. So let's dismiss that as a thing that changed anything because that's what the world did. Secondly, more tourists are coming now than they were in 2021. That's a fact. But they are coming because they couldn't come, had already planned to come, would have come had the place not been locked down. Now, I'm not defending any position. I'm saying from my engineering approach, where I was trained, qualified, and I could only look at things quantitatively.
Yes.
You can't put before me a set of facts which would have existed whether you were in the government or not, and present them in front of me and tell me this is the reason now. Now, what I can tell you is this, and Gaza will share with the nation something that very few people may do. I finished the townhouses that we live in 2018. This is 2024. I have a spreadsheet where I track my monthly BPL bill. I have a very sophisticated spreadsheet where I could tell you the percentage point per month. It has gone up from 2018. I can tell you that in 2018, there was only 1 month in my house where the light bill peaked $90 the entire 2018. 2019, there were 3 months where it peaked $90, and 1 month was $100. 2020, there was 6 months where it peaked $90, and 2 months were over $100. 2021, notice the progression now.
I'm listening.
7 months was plus $90, and 4 months was over $100. 2022, 23, all of the months peaked $100, and for the first time in 2023, I had a light bill which started with the number 2.
Whoa.
The first time that I had a light bill start with the number 2. 2024, they talk with this going on and all kind of other stuff going on. All of my light bills for every month was over $125. And I had 1 month where my light bill peaked $280-odd. Now, my life is sedimentary. It doesn't change. I didn't do anything more special, buy a deep freeze.
No changes
in that. No changes in my lifestyle.
So you attribute this to the cost of living increasing?
I attribute it to the cost of electricity going up. Whether we want to say it's the cost of living, I guess it's living. But I know one thing. Quantitatively, I have tracked the increase that is now from 2018 to 2024 more than quadrupled.
But
the cost of electricity.
It amazes,
quadrupled.
Yeah, but it amazes me. It amazes me how we fault governments for electrical usage. It amazes me, and I'll say why. Because the very same family members we have that are employed by the BPL company, they are part of a union. Their union demands higher wages.
Every year.
The cost of material to continue on an electric grid that is now failing and faltering and falling apart, I would suppose that those material will also increase.
Slightly
means it's still an increase, though.
It is increased, but at the same time now, let's do something which is very interesting when talking electricity. We would have spent $100 million less than 2 years ago. $100 million outfitting Clifton Pier.
Yes, I remember.
With Wasilla.
Yes, I remember.
Generator, generation, and upgrade to...
And Wasilla's actually an excellent generator.
Okay, now, that's $100 million.
Yes.
At the time, we thought that was going to be a longer-term solution than just 12 months. Now, no one sold us it's going to only be good for 12 months. Today, I listened to the new Minister of Energy and talking about how outdated the entire infrastructure is. It doesn't have any resiliency and all this stuff. Yeah. So you tell me we dumped $100 million into what for nothing then? So I have to then critically analyze, the $100 million. Would we have been better not to have spent $100 million then? If you're saying that, given that investment, that means almost nothing. Then turn around now and sell off to distribution for the same $100 million. I don't know. To me, seeing we invested $100 million and turned around and sold off the distribution rights for $100 million.
Why is $100 million the magic number?
I don't know, but it's just very, very peculiar. But finally, I want to say this. I think the public is grossly misinformed about how this country operates, how it works, and how we should evaluate the things that politicians do for our benefit.
So you're saying, you use the word misinformed.
Misinformed.
To me, and I ask you, do you think the average citizen cares?
I think they don't understand enough to care.
So how do you make someone care enough to understand or understand enough to care? Let me hear this.
And I said to you about how I approach change very, very systemically.
And quantitatively.
And quantitatively.
Yes, go ahead. I'm listening.
I had...
And this question I gave is a leadership question.
Good.
I want you to know that.
I just want Behemoth to look at it like this.
Yes.
In 2021, my dollar had a value of 88 cents. Why did it have a value of 88 cents? What was that?
That was 12%.
Aha. Today, I have a value of how much cents?
Is it now 90?
90. Mm-hmm. I've gained 2 cents. That's a good thing. That's parking lot that. But I had a number of items and things that I didn't pay VAT on.
Okay.
That now the same dollar, which gone up 2 cents, I have more 2 cents of value. I've out on a number of areas, including medicine, including this and that, and X and Z. I have increases. So that 2 cents that I gained on my dollar still purchases less because I had other things that I wasn't taxed on that I now tax on. That's how I want the Bahamian people to look at things, because you have to look at money. Money is the only indicator of, for most things, for success. You have to look at money. God, if you have a dollar and you could give me 50 cents, and then the next time I see you, God, you only get 75 cents, you down, God.
So I'm hearing you speak from an intelligent platform that this is how we should think.
That's how we should think.
And you people, you can call me in right now if you have an issue with this way of thinking, because the last time I checked, a bite is $5 with no VAT.
You and checked?
Rubber leaf was a dollar with no VAT.
You checked?
Let's take this break, folks. Howard Grant is about to come into the station. We got to make room for the big man. From the foundation, Mr. Howard Grant, we're having a lovely conversation here with one Mr. Leonard Sands from Nailed It. And hey, listen, I enjoy sitting with these gentlemen. This is not just a 96.9 FM conversation. This is how we talk when we are even away from the station, because we are nation builders and we are believing in a better, use the word better, better Bahamas. You know I is your MP, but you know there's hardly
that right.
I expect to see my money. Yeah, different stroke, but different folk. Different egg, a different yoke. Different man, take different stand. Dog like road and cat like sand. Well, the PM tell them MPs, you don't put yourself in public life. Now the people, they must see the income of you, your children, and your wife. So them MPs tell the PM, what must be, it must be. The show won't tell Billy for we, so we gonna send it to committee. Yeah, different stroke, but different folk. Different egg, a different yoke. Different man, take different stand. Dog like road and cat like sand. Now the PM call the governor. He said, broke this house quick, quick. Bring it back.
Looking for quality food at affordable prices? Look no further than Solomon's. Our stores offer unbeatable savings on your overall basket without compromising on quality. From quality produce to pantry staples, we have everything you need to create delicious and nutritious meals for less. When it comes to your grocery budget, don't sacrifice quality for value. Come to Solomon's and experience the best of both worlds.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
all those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Show us your family, my people, oh, my people, you know I is your MP.
Oh, Mr. MP, that's one of our great men of this country, Mr. Eddie Minnis himself. We thank him for his contributions as well. And hey, Mr. MP, it's about that time, eh? You come see us. We want you to see what our bank book looks like. That's what we want you to see. But Mr. Leonard Sands, host of Nailed It, I think he nailed the introduction. I just want to thank you for that because we're just warming up. Like we said, there is a youth march that's amiss and the traffic is a bit backed up. But we are going to invite you to call in on this show, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Or you can call from anywhere on our family islands, toll-free 300-5720. Or you can text us at 422-4796. I've just been joined with my very, 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 very good friend.
That's a lot of
very. Yeah, that's a very, because he's a very, 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 very big guy. But he has also a very, very, very big heart.
I'll take two berries, sir.
But you know, as big as
Alex
he is.
Alex is going to get two berries.
And he has a very, 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 very wonderful family. Howard Grant welcomed us here, Politics on Sunday. This is something that we've even done in your home. We've done it on the telephone. This is not unusual for us to have these conversations. Mr. Leonard Sands was just telling us a bit about how the country should consider the way politics works in terms of things such as your BPL bill. He has seen an increase. I don't know if he wants to call it a considerable increase or just a menial increase.
Over 5 years, it is quadrupled.
It has quadrupled in how many years?
Over what term? 1 to 5, it has quadrupled. From 2018 to 2025, it has seen the light bill that was around $78 to now over $160. That's more than three.
What I'm going to do one of these days, and I can even do it this week, I'm going to show you my BPL bill for my house. The last bill I paid was $36.
You're talking too much. They can come looking for you.
No, they can
fix
come.
This.
No, well, if they come, they'll come. But they can audit that. When I was a pastor in South Angeles, I never stayed home, so I just unplugged everything. My bill was $3. I just don't believe in utilizing electricity if I'm not there. If I'm not in a room, I turn my light off. If I'm not using a radio or television, I turn it off. There are people that I know that are very lonely, and they got to keep everything on, all the TVs on. I have an LED TV, so I don't burn that much card even with the television. Now, one thing that I have sacrificed, and I use the word sacrifice, not that I cannot afford to do differently, I've let the washer and the dryer go. Now, I don't like putting my clothes in washers and dryers where other people also use publicly, but it is something I had to come to grips with because before I did that, my bill was over $100 a month. So I took that upon my shoulders. You know what? I'll use my bleach and bleach out and wipe out and sanitize the washing machine before I use it. And, of course, my house, we do a pretty good job ensuring that it's sanitary. Stuff like your lights on the outside. I notice a lot of people leave their lights on outside the home at night while they're sleeping. So while you're sleeping, you have to think in your mind, you know what? While you are sleeping, you're also paying for the light that's on all night long.
You're paying for security.
You're paying for security.
You're paying for security.
But last time,
you don't want nobody walking around your house.
But you see where I...
You're doing a lot of God.
No, but where I cut that, you see, where I cut that was, I got cameras that actually see in the dark. So you can do all you want to do. I can see you. I can see you. No, I see you. I don't need you to know that I see you. I have a Doberman Pinscher. He's not going to let you know he's there.
Okay, he can just bite you.
No, he'll let you come in. The question is, can you leave? These are just ways that I think. But Howard Grant, you are the host of the foundation. I'm so glad that you're here. He's also a mentor in his own right. He has a lot of people to come on his show and has watched them grow. I'm one of those people that have actually grown into the family of Guardian Radio 96.9. So I'm very grateful for the time that we've spent together. And Howard Grant, right now, is telling Leonard, I can't get a good feel of the electoral mindset because I'm hearing strong PLP say, you know what, the party's doing horribly. And I'm thinking that may be a Perry Christie PLP member. Whereas right now, all the Brave Davis PLP are saying, hey, everything is going great. When we look at the Royal Opposition, I'm seeing the Minnis faction and I'm seeing the Pintard faction. When I look at the third parties, I saw a big buzz about the COI, which was the strongest of the groups out there. Then all of a sudden now there's a lull, like there's a total quietness. I don't know what's really going on, but how do you feel about the whole thing? You've been doing a poll lately on your show, and of course on social media. Once again, can I say this?
I'm not going to fight you.
Why do we have to be so rude?
That's just who people are.
Why do we have to go to
They're
a level?
They're not properly educated, I suppose.
But if you're going to boast about a political party that's going to take our nation to a higher level, why do people choose to stoop so low? So it must mean to me that the attention given to your polls, it must have some merit. Tell me what you think about that.
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you so much for allowing me to be able to come and sit in your space on a Sunday right here at Remark. Sitting with both of these guys are my very good friends. Now, you've heard Leonard. He's been on my show a couple of times. He kind of, pairs away from having politics conversation throughout the week. Throughout the week, he didn't want to talk like that, right?
Yeah.
I suppose on the weekend, that's why I got to catch him. Right? Praise God. I'm not going to fight you. I'm glad to be here, right? And I'm grateful to be here in this kind of a space. You and I always have these kind of conversations about where we are, where the nation is, and even in the midst of the series that I did talk about Stay Sober Bahamas, remember the series that I did, Stay Sober Bahamas? 1 week after that, you hosted the show when I was on vacation and you did an integrity conversation, right? We looked at the politics, we looked at the pulpit, and we looked at the people. And these three elements to identify where the integrity was. Birthed out of that was a conversation now that we're having that says, dissecting leadership from a constituency-first approach, right? Sorry. Dissecting leadership from a constituency-first approach. And what that was not necessarily looking at the grand aspect, the overarching view or the paramount view of politics in the country, but looking at leadership from a constituency standpoint.
Yes.
And as we dissect this, right, and I wanted to be decent, I gave every politician, before I opened up my poll, because I did it electronically at thefoundation242.com, before I opened up my poll, I gave every politician, and you know this, I gave every politician a letter. If I didn't give it to them in their hand, I sent it to them with their driver. I sent it to them with an aide. I sent it all to these particular persons. Now, many of them plain oblivious. Well, I didn't know. The reason I gave it to them is for them to be able to ensure that your people could vote for you. That was it. That was the approach to decency. Mm-hmm. The poll has reflected poorly on a great deal of politicians.
I saw that.
Almost 2,000 people have taken the poll already. Now, there are arguments, the persons that say, yeah, but that's not real poll and so forth and so on. When Imwale, which is public domain, or Intel Key does a poll, the amount, the poll sample size is 1,000 people throughout the Bahamas. When they're asking you any questions and they call in your house, the poll sample size, and in conjunction with the questions, is about 1,000 or less persons. That's it. That's the sample size for a population of this particular size. Now, if I get 2,000 people, talk to me.
Now, you know you and I had...
We talked about this.
With the math of that, right?
No. I'm telling you scientifically. The sample sizes are always under 1,000 people.
And I'm saying scientifically, that means that every sample size is flawed.
The sample size reflects culture. It reflects.
Okay. Let me say, you're correct if that's what they say.
Mm-hmm.
From a mathematical standpoint, if you think that you won't wager $10,000 on five people, because that's how small that number is, on five people in your constituency saying that you could win, you can lose your money.
But that's not what the poll is about.
But no, but the polls being, we have 400,000 plus persons. We have about 200,000 persons, just under 200,000 that vote. 1,000 goes into 200,000, enough that less than 1% cannot be an accurate sample. Now, I'm not going to fight you that it's a sample, but it certainly can't be an accurate sample.
No, but what I'm saying to you is that
it can't be an accurate
sample.
It's too small.
And the approach that we've taken in being able to do this.
It's an accurate sample, Howard. That's all I'm saying. I ain't going to fight you.
But you could look it up, though.
So I know, but I argue that even the persons who cast it as a sample size didn't do it for accuracy. They could say it's a sample, but it can't be an accurate. I think the range of being spot on and being way off is too great inside
it. But you can never be spot on. The idea is to be able to capture the sentiment, to capture the idea, the feel of what would happen in this particular direction.
Okay, so
Let me say this, gentlemen. It's too small.
The way our country has been fabricated, it's been tailored. Is I want to give you all so much credit, but I cannot. To me, the political mind in this country is novice. It's emotion.
I will not fight you.
It's just emotion.
Absolutely is.
The fairness of what I think Howard Grant did was he opened it up to whomsoever will. In the response, it has been similar to that as to the response of our last election, where some people just felt they just did not want to participate. They didn't see the rationale of participating. They didn't see any credence to it. But there was a fair factor that was very apparent to me that no one wants their good MP to be spoken ill of.
Mm-hmm.
And as for the
it's MP, heavy what you're saying.
And for the MP that is ill, the one who you know is no good, because I've gotten their strong support who said they're no good, they still don't want you to say that they are no good.
Not out loud.
No.
Not out loud in the public. Let me say this. Okay, we asked about 9 questions. The first 2 questions, did you vote in the last election? And the second question, do you intend to vote in the next election? Which I believe reflected the most honest and transparent.
I think so too.
The most honest. The fluctuation between that. Yes, I did vote. No, well, I ain't planning to vote.
Well, that's the honesty. Right
that
there.
Was the strength.
Yeah.
That has been the strength of the entire poll.
Yeah.
Now, the fluctuation that exists, it may exist based upon your political prejudice, your side. When we ask you how your minister doing, how your MP doing, how these things, some say yes, 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 yes. Some say no. Some say yes for everything. They say, are you satisfied with them? No. Some say no for everything. Then he asks, are you satisfied with them? They say yes. You're confusing me, right? Yeah. Now, I say that to say, if this is the sentiment over 1,500 people now, over 1,700 people today, I ain't checking this morning. Right? I expect by the time as we get here on Tuesday, over 2,000 people would have taken the poll already. If the sentiment exists about your member of parliament to say that he or she is not doing well in this particular constituency, all these things, so forth and so on, it says to me, when I look at the beginning of the question, did you vote last time? Are you planning to vote next time? It says to me that the country is uneasy.
But Howard, okay. Let's accept that that's what you say and let's not fight that part. Fine. Part of the question what I have for you is that when you say that your member of parliament is not doing well in this constituency is a loaded question. Because what does...
No. The question was, are you satisfied?
Well, to be satisfied, you have to have a measurement.
No.
Hold on now. Howard, if I feed you a vegetarian meal and I know you're a vegetarian and I give you a vegetarian meal and I ask you, are you satisfied?
Grammy say hungry dog but eat raw corn.
Now, if I give you a meal that does not meet your vegetarian taste, and I ask you if you're satisfied, you can be grossly unsatisfied because, first of all, you ain't even starting right. I'm saying you have to have a measurement of what should my MP have done to be perceived by me is doing well.
Okay, so let's ask this question.
I don't think that our population can intelligently I would dare say, answer that in any constituency almost.
But this is not what I say. I think we should introduce this as a beta test, as the introductory concept and idea for us to be able to build on this through years to come. Because if we don't have town hall meetings, if we don't have a public discourse,
we won't have them.
If we don't have those things, at least we can get the public to be able to say, well, I'm dissatisfied or I expect in this particular area.
Okay.
And have members of parliament answer that.
So here's what I'm interested in. I'm going to give out these numbers again. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 300-5720, or text me at 422-4796. I want you to call in and tell us what makes a great MP.
Absolutely.
What is required of a member of parliament, or what makes them an awesomely terrible member of parliament? Consider those things. Give us a call. Text us. We want to hear from you. We'll be right back.
Next thing I know, I was watching a show. The circus nearly knocked me off my chair. My little boy say, Pa, I never see that kind of car. How come them rich white people stop in here? I say, boy, they coming out the woodwork just like Word, everybody catching politics like Germ, chasing after sweetness just like Lie, all that mean is five more years gone by. Five years gone past since I seen them fellas last. That's when they promised me to move. But green cheese hard to get after voting time to sweat. I surprise how they forget about me so soon. All them burning issues dead, when the news of our head, and the winner start climbing to the top. Oh, and it's promise keeping time, politician hard to find, but come election time, the number never stop. That's why they coming out the woodwork just like, worrying everybody, catching politics like, join chasing after sweetness just like,
Are you uninsured and seeking a plan that can give you quality healthcare at discounted rates? Unlock affordable healthcare with Doctors Hospital's LAMP. Enjoy unlimited primary care visits, exclusive discounts of up to 20%, and complimentary imaging and nutrition services. Visit doctorshosp.com/LAMP to register. Comprehensive, cost-effective wellness starts with LAMP.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Printmasters. Printmasters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Printmasters.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
This is Remark. I'm your host, Garth Roseborough. I'm here at 96.9 FM Bahamas, right here in lovely New Providence in the Bahamas, where our capital is Nassau. And while we were taking that short break, you should hear the discussion in this room. This is not new to me. These two astute men, this is what we do. We rip it apart. We tear it apart. We just do what we have to do, and then we build a Frankenstein. We build something that kind of works, kind of makes sense, but we need your interaction. We need you to come ahead and assist us in putting this all together. I just want to throw those phone lines out to you really quickly once again. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 300-5720, or you can text at 422-4796. We got a text, gentlemen. It says, Garth, where knowledge of good governance is considered a duty, ignorance of it should be considered a crime.
Ah,
many okay. of the political servants, or I guess servants, feels as if they are looking at reality while others are stuck in the cave watching shadows. In the Bahamas, it says, there has developed the ego syndrome where time and reality revolves around the elected for 5 years. When the puppet masters have left the stage, the puppets continue dancing. This is the real story of Bahamian politics. In the political arena, from 2002 to present, I don't know if to call this period in the Bahamas the Dark Ages or the Bahamas' reign of terror.
Nadeep, before we get into that, Howard, answer the question. Heat Garth asked you before the break. Answer the question. What is the job of your member of parliament?
Hold a second for me. I got a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. And let Howard think about that for a minute.
My brother.
Go.
What makes a good member of parliament? It's a great question in this environment. But I would say that one that is in tune with his constituents in a later fashion of which laws can be passed that can impact their well-being and the advancement of their dreams and aspirations. But coupled with that is somebody who could inspire his constituents to be involved and engage themselves in the political process to affect change and to transform their community. A part of the challenge that we have in this country is obviously the fact that was mentioned previously is that some members of parliament see their role as the king and not the reality of a servant. Once you have that servant mindset, you recognize that you are there for the people and you are at their bidding. Your personal agenda is no longer at fore, and your agenda is now based on the collective voices of the people that are in your constituency. But the only way you can have a collective voice of constituents is by being engaged with your constituents to find their needs, their dreams, their aspirations. And sometimes when it's lacking, you must inspire that so much so that they could see what the government is of the day, especially if you're part of the government.
I like this.
To say, hey, this is what our plans are, our platform is, this is what we intend to do. Do you agree? Whatever the case may be. But
far
too often, governments give these constituents their platform as opposed to the constituents because of the lack of involvement, their platform to say, this is what we want, this is what we need, and this is how we expect to get it done. And that is my contribution. Thank you so much, man.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
That is an absolutely wonderful, intelligent,
yes,
and well put together response.
And I would dare say,
it to Howard. Let's see what Howard can do to match that.
I can't match that.
I think he was spot on.
The only thing is that it's like the commercial with Walgreens in a perfect world. In a perfect world, this would happen, but this is Walgreens, the closest you get to the perfection. The fact of the matter is that the description that we have is in a perfect world. It might even be wrapped in the Constitution of political organizations and the Constitution of the Bahamas could all reflect this level of transparency and ensuring that the mark is high. However, the morphing and the shifting of culture from a political standpoint and the traditions that actually find themselves being able to transpose and transcend some of these things that actually sit there makes us to reflect on the traditions and the culture and forget about what the necessity is.
But Howard, when I elected you, I didn't elect you to continue traditions, my brother.
You don't know why you
elected a person who came in my constituency, told me, I hear your concerns.
And then
I'm going to activate my energies to address your concerns. Now you're telling me that was all in a perfect world.
Yes.
Because today, I really can't help you in this constituency. I only concerned with making sure the national agenda of the party, which may have nothing to do with my constituency.
Absolutely nothing to do, because your constituency is actually made up at least 50-50 of different of views
yes.
from a different political perspective.
But that's okay, Howard. But Howard, you are there to be the representative of the constituency, not the representative of the government.
You're the representative of your political organization.
And
to ensure, and that's what's happening.
And the constituents of, not the constituents who voted for you.
This is what's
you,
happening.
The constituents.
Okay, so let's look at some people individually.
Hold 1 second.
Your constituents.
Okay, go ahead.
Now, you see, people, I just want you all to understand that this thing is about to get really, really, really hot. This is what they were saying. I had to slow them down a bit, cool them down a bit. Because you see, right now, those voices are getting higher, and we can begin to speak over each
this
other.
That's what we just do. I feel like we're just chilling.
We hold right now. We hold.
The difference now is a bit before the microphone, and then we don't want that sound to be so muffled.
That's fine.
And we have all three hosts. There's no real host here today. We're not the Three Stooges, by the way. We're more like the Three Musketeers. But listen, what can I say about this conversation? We need to hear from you. We just heard from one of our brilliant callers. We need you to join in this conversation. And Howard, I'm going to give you the mic, and then we give it here to Leonard, and then we're going to continue this conversation. Go ahead.
I want to say one thing. I want to bring it to real time. Okay? I want to bring it to real time. There are some individuals that we could look at historically. The poll that we've done is only between 2002 to 2024, to the 2021, the last election. And we can look at some individuals and recognize that they were able to retain their seat despite political organization. Mm. Okay? I can call one name, Shannon Cartwright.
What about Shannon Cartwright?
Shannon Cartwright, let's just shoot straight. Shannon Cartwright recognized that his commitment to the constituency, whatever he had to do to ensure that he could empower those persons and they could view him in a particular light and always provide him another opportunity, even when he didn't have the proverbial quote-unquote purse of the government to ensure that he could be able to fortify those persons, they felt an allegiance to him because what they did to him. He got in twice in a constituency that was not designed for him. The point of what I'm making is that if political if people within the political organizations, candidates recognize that your commitment to the constituency could be able to ensure you that you could move forward, they would focus more on the constituency. However, when they get in politics and the whip is on, and they get one little government contract or they get one little post in a particular thing, they forget about the allegiance that they've made and committed on them people seti, on their couch, in their constituency when they got in. And that is why the poll reflects that you're doing bad because I haven't seen you. You're doing bad because I hear you talking about crime. You're doing bad because I hear you saying nothing but when the fella gets shoot in this area. You're doing bad because I don't hear you agitating for these things, but I see you traveling all the time. You're doing bad and we're waiting to see you. These are what PLPs are saying. And PLP-prone areas.
So let me say this then to Mr. Leonard Sands. Once again, the host have nailed it. We just heard from Howard Grant from the foundation. Leonard Sands, I think you have a different perspective.
I have an absolutely different
perspective. Let me hear your side of that.
I have an absolutely different perspective. He's my good friend.
No, go ahead.
But we go in at 180 degrees.
That's why they put
pieces. That's what the show is about.
Let me pull out something that was mentioned by you. And it's not your last show, the show before last, about constituency. It's a marathon. Now, I heard what you said, and I do not disagree with what you said. But now let me add to what you say and flip in the opposite direction. I find that from electoral season to electoral season, the wishes and desires of the constituents change. In Earl, with former Member of Parliament Earl DeVoe, there was concern about what caused him, I believe, to lose out on his constituency was the oil spill. After that, persons came in there. We had Fitzgerald. He still had to deal with the oil spill. And people felt he did somewhat of a good job.
Deep, you know.
And then they still didn't feel he did a good enough job. You know who they thought was doing a great job? Romuald Ferreira. He came in there, did a good job. They gave him an opportunity. But then they thought that he didn't close the issue. Now, what's interesting is that the member of parliament for Marathon is who now?
Lisa Remming.
I have not heard one thing about the still lingering unanswered questions. A, the oil spill, was it ever cleaned up properly? Was the persons who all brought claims against the government that they were suffering from cancer, oh, they done daddy? No, honestly, I mean very honestly, yeah. Because nobody no longer talking about the oil spill. We don't forget it. That's the point I'm making. Is that every single time,
Jerome Fitzgerald has already told you
the people
about the oil spill. He said, do you want me to lose my job, A?
Oh, I forget. Yes.
But you seem to forget these
things. And that's why they say, well, good, you ain't got no job to lose now. You're gone. Now, what happened after him?
But guess what?
Romy came. I'm the environmental scientist.
Found himself in this position.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Rumi found himself in this position.
Mm-hmm.
The government gave him because you forgot that he was advocating for
this. He was advocating for
as a lawyer independent of government,
mm-hmm,
and advocating in the constituency based upon the claims that were made against the constituency and against this organization.
The gas station.
That's
by the residents.
So the FNM, like his agitation, gave him a position. And then gave him a ministry, the Ministry of Environment.
Environment.
But then they strip him. You forget it.
They did.
They strip him of anything in the portfolio.
Three birds and one goat.
All he was a glorified member of parliament who didn't have strength to do anything in that particular capacity. Don't forget these things.
And because of that, they told him that he had to go.
Don't forget these things.
Okay, now, but hold on. Let's also remember that the issue was never settled. And this is where I put it on the people. The residents of Marathon still have an issue.
Anyone who agitated, spoke up, advocated in the particular constituency was absorbed into the fold of pro bono or whatever, the perceived idea, allegedly. These are the things that have happened in these particular constituencies.
So this
is why I said to you.
They can't blame them.
Of course they can't, right? But this is why I've said to you before. I've said to you, and I continue to say this to you, members of parliament who doesn't have a love for the constituency, who doesn't have a love to ensure that these things are taken care of to execute to get to the end result, if they're perpetuating their party's position, they're going to be one and done. They're going to be one and done.
So I like the one and done. I like the idea of loving because the love does not exist in Bahamian politics. I'm certain of that because as you speak about the oil spill, right now, amazingly, the Minister for Environment and Natural Resources sits in the Golden Isles seat where I am a resident. And I have known of a diesel oil spill that is there right before Frank Watson Boulevard on the main Adelaide Road. Has been there for years. And I think there's still some damage that is there.
Mm-hmm.
And we have not yet been properly addressed by this Minister of Environment. There's also the removal of... You know, you talk about, what is the Prime Minister talking about again now? This
carbon credits?
Not the carbon credits. What is he talking about all the time going around the world?
Climate change.
See it there?
Climate change.
See how you play with Howard? Climate change. You sure you're talking about climate change?
Yeah, the Prime
because
Minister's talking
because
climate
they take all the mangroves out of Adelaide. all the mangroves out of Adelaide.
But let's get
for what they call progress. I'm just trying to say something to you. You speak about the one and done and the love for the community, and I'm saying to you as a community member, I've not seen my member of parliament.
Why you got to see him?
No, I've not seen him.
But why you have to see him?
Because I can't feel him. If I can't feel, I won't see.
Is he doing anything in parliament?
If I can't see my woman, I won't feel her. I can't feel her, I need to see her.
Is he doing...
It's a different conversation.
Is he doing the legislative job in parliament? Has he advanced any bills on behalf of your constituency?
Once again, we know of no bills.
Oh.
There's no communication of such.
None?
No.
So when he rises on behalf of, who do he rise on behalf of?
Of the party.
Oh, okay.
And this is what we're talking about. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, 323-6232. We're almost out of here, so you got to call in. 325-4316, 325-4259, or from the Family Violence, 300-5720, or give us a text, 422-4796. So Howard Grant, right now, before we get out of here, as you see the election now based on your poll, what do you feel is coming for the Bahamian people?
Can I say this? I can be honest because I don't have skin in the game.
You can't be a liar on Sunday.
I got to be real.
So let's do this.
I got to be real.
How I see it
is that there is an indifference that exists in our country. There's some tumultuous something going on. People are so unsatisfied. Just like the embodiment of an Anton call. The Anton will call in and be able to berate his political organization. He'll start to talk about how people are, they're not doing good, they are yes men, so forth and so on. And then at the end of that, he will punctuate his conversation by saying that, you know, just like Fred Mitchell will say, well, you know, today and every day, it's PLP all the way, right? It's sort of the punctuation. No matter how we scrutinize and identify what's happening within our organization, we still believe that we have enough time to satisfy these particular people. We still believe that we have enough time to be able to improve what's happening in the lives of these people, to change them to vote for the PLP. As I see it now, especially looking at the Free National Movement, and not hearing enough in terms of who's coming to the forefront in strategic constituencies, because that's a strong conversation.
Yes, sir.
In strategic constituencies, it seems as though that the PLP is set for another victory, based upon what I'm seeing right now.
I heard you. Caller. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
We can hear you. Go ahead.
Can you hear me, buddy?
Turn your radio down, but we can hear you. Go ahead.
I don't have no radio. I'm in the van, traveling around by the University of the Bahamas. I can hardly hear you, and I write outside Guardian. Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Loud and clear.
If you can't hear us,
okay. Listen to what I'm saying, Pearly.
This ain't Pearly. This ain't Pearly Sparky. This Goth.
Hello?
This is Remark with Goth Roseboro. Go ahead. I think we lost him there. So Howard is saying right now, Leonard, that the PLP is looking right now with everything that everything is right before us. Not hearing from the Free National Movement. He's saying that right now it's only favoring the Progressive Liberal Party. What do you say?
He cannot answer that question.
I said to my good friends who we have this banter in your living room and other places, you gotta beat a champion. This boxing now. You don't go to the boxing match with an incumbent champion looking for a tie. Because guess what's gonna happen to the referee with your hand? Your hand can stay down. And he can give it to the champion. You got to beat the champion.
Okay, so...
Having said that...
The PLP is the current champs.
PLP is the champion. They're the government. You have to beat them.
Okay, so...
You have to beat them.
So you're saying that right now the PLP is standing to win the next election?
I'm saying right now what I'm looking at is they are the champions. And they ain't got beat yet.
I love this guy. This guy's the best.
So with that being said...
They're the champion. They ain't got beat yet.
The administration from 2012 to 2017 was the Progressive Liberal Party. City of Gold, Gold Rush. Am I correct?
Correct.
Good.
That wasn't enough. Now
2016, well, you know, I kind of saw, like, you know what, a change was on its way.
Stop it. From 2016?
No,
2012.
Listen, I can tell you how I know. I can tell you how I felt that way. You know how I felt that way? Because like a behemoth that I am, running through my blood, I was the senior consultant for BAIC. When I felt disrespected on the job, and my last day on the job, and I tried to communicate with the powers that be, and I was shunned. No one took my calls. Of course I prayed to Jesus and said, my God, they got to go. So I'm saying to you now, is the nation praying to God for this group to go?
I'm not just asking, it's not a PLP or FNM thing for me.
It's an emotional thing, but it's also a behemoth thing.
For me, as I see this, because I got to take a break. As I see this and identify this, 2012 is not comparison to this New Day administration. You cannot compare Perry Christie to Philip Brave Davis. You cannot do that. Perry Christie has been indecisive in his leadership, and the only thing that was the feather in his cap was Bahama. And that crumbled.
But let's talk about indecision when we get back. We'll be right back, folks.
They say they won't legalize it. They say they make more bucks if they penalize it. I said it, I don't see the logic. This world is unjust. I heard Sheena riding. But you can pay for therapy. What happens next? Imminently, not a 1% screaming class warfare. They think it's jovial, they real as horse hair. I'm just trying to do it big, notorious. Two bottles clicking, warriors. Good values that I could try and pass on. Rest in peace, all independent, heard he passed on. They just robbing the poor with no mask on. But Saddam 40 missing, where's cash gone? I know you hear the truth in every last song. So salute the troops, gun and mask on.
Constitution, a noble piece of paper, with free society, the struggle but they died in vain, and now democracy is a ragtime on the corner, hoping for some rain, and look like either hoping.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Sunday, Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday, happy days. Saturday, what a day. Grooving all week with you. These days are all...
Saturdays are going to be your happiest days. Our exciting new Saturday lineup premieres October 19th on Guardian Radio 96.9.
These happy days are yours and mine.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
The Constitution, a noble piece of paper, with free society, the struggle, but they died in vain. And now democracy is a ragtime on the corner, hoping for some rain. Hoping for some rain.
Oh, we're right back. We're here grooving 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. Hey, this is what talk is all about. We have a whole list of great hosts here at Guardian Radio. At any time you want to turn your radio on and have a great discussion, a great call-in show, we have wonderful hosts. We have, in my presence even today, there's three hosts in one room. We have Howard Grant from the Foundation. That is Monday through Friday from 12 to 2. So anytime you take a lunch break, you turn your radio on, he is there. He's followed by C.A. Nuri
and
Aaron Green.
No, C.A. Nuri and Aaron before
Green.
Me.
Yeah. Right before you.
Yeah.
And then following him is Z-Line with Shivago Lang. We have Nailed It. It's a show on Thursday, and he has a wonderful co-host, and I'm going to let these gentlemen talk a little bit about the show. Not that they need it. I mean, everyone knows who they are, and they're great at what they do. But during the break, listen, man, it got hot up in here. Now, I put myself in the rabbit hole. I told them, yes, I was employed by this wonderful government for 3 years on a contract. I was a senior consultant for an organization that nothing was really required of me to perform. The fact that I was sent by the Prime Minister himself, you would have thought that based on your effort before the election, where you spent countless nights from 7 in the evening till 4 o'clock every morning, 7 days a week, strategizing for an election, that after 2-3 years of that, you would have been simply welcomed and liked, and you'd have been like a celebrity, as it were, because of the work
and
that you've done.
And then you woke up.
But the minute you enter into the corporation, at the time a man with multiple degrees and the ability to perform in agriculture and to bring a new idea of beekeeping as an industry to the country, and you want the government to work, you find out that it is nothing about your ability, it's nothing about your ethic, it's nothing about your education, it's nothing about building the nation. The problem is you. The problem is you, because they sent you and you thought you were somebody, but we got to prove to you that you are nobody.
Over time.
And so right now, the celebration happens after they say to you, today is your last day on the job.
High fives.
Like BPL, that gentleman, it was his last day on the job. And while he may go away saying, well, my God, my $250,000 or whatever $1,000 that he was earning is now gone, there are people who are sitting in his office now, changing out the office chair, changing out the office furniture, and having a party. How can this country ever get anywhere like this? We had one environmental minister who's supposed to take care of an oil spill over in Marathon. Now we got another oil spill over in Golden Isles. This member of parliament has been there for 2 terms now.
No, but no one is saying nothing about what's happening in East Grand Bahama.
There's no performance. So no one cares about Grand Bahama. Grand Bahama's over there. They're only concerned about New Providence. God, listen. We want to care about Grand Bahama because they are Bahamians, but no one's going to care if you're silly enough to stay in Grand Bahama and don't come to Nassau where everything is happening. I just found out that the weed has gone from $5 to $10 with no VAT included. I mean, what is going on in this country? Leonard Sands, talk to me.
Y'all are doing too much on this radio today.
Are we ever going to produce anything? Are we ever going to have an industry anywhere around here? Or are we simply just going to continue the way we're going and saying, you know what, I am PLP, I am FNM, I am COY. Caller, what do you say? I have a caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. Caller, we can hear you. Caller, we can't hear you.
Get water on the line.
Go ahead, sir.
So we hear your passionate cry and concerns for how things should be, and like Howard would often chime in and say, "Now you can wake up," and that's part of the challenge. But wake now, what from the dream? Because clearly that isn't the Bahamas.
Not living. This one.
Someone said this is the reign of terror.
I don't know about all that. That's something different. But I would say this. The question that was posed to me was a heavy question, and I gave an answer that was, to me, as full as I could without being insensitive to the aspirations of the opposition. Now, let me add a little more meat to the question. Howard, if the opposition, in my view, wants to become the government of the Bahamas, in my view, it has to out-idea them. Let me tell you what that means. In 2021, the Bahamas was in a very dark place. And even so, the Progressive Liberal Party brought ideas to the Bahamian people.
Ideas or lies?
No.
Ideas.
At the time, we could only call it ideas.
Yes, because ideas.
Only time and facts could prove them to be lies. They brought ideas.
And guess what?
And the ideas captured the
And as soon as you try to run up the time, all they can do is expand the time. Exactly. So it'll always be an idea.
So the ideas...
So that's a lie.
No, but the idea...
You perceive it to be a lie, but it's an idea.
The ideas capture hearts and minds of the majority of Bahamians. I will say that.
Now, it was an excellent idea, by the way.
And it was an idea. Now...
It was a good one.
I said, and I said very clearly, the FNM, the opposition, have to out-idea this government who is in power today, which intends to stay in power, because they can come with more ideas. So I believe, and I will say this something first time ever on radio, this would be possibly the most progressive set of
lies,
ideas the Bahamas will ever see at this present time, because the guy who wants to be there, the wants to stay there,
but it ain't enough.
Can bring more ideas. It's and the enough. Guy who wants to get there would bring hopefully
no, but it ain't enough.
More ideas.
No, it ain't enough.
And the benefit for all of us, because some of them ideas could mean good things for us.
No, but it ain't enough though. Because to be able to have a good idea is almost like sweet words. And after you get you then whisper in the woman's ear about what you can do and all these things and these sweet words, and you get what your desires are, which is the victory that you're looking for, the victory that you're looking for. So you get the victory. I just want to be decent today. It's Sunday. Let's praise Jesus. So you get the victory that you're looking for after you've already spoken your sweet nothings, and you never produce anything. That's the issue that perpetual political organizations have been having in this country from 2002 to our current position. The reason why Hubert Ingraham continues to be able to hold steadfast to his legacy is he whispered not flowery words like he would say to Perry Christie, but he whispered very strategic patterns of what expectations are. And if he wasn't able to get 100% of those, we saw him get over 75%. We saw him stretching and trying to move towards that 100% mark. And that's why in 1997, he could say, give me two straight. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of trust. When we could see that in 2092, when we saw it in 97, when we saw it in 2012, in 2007, we recognized that this is a man who not only says what he means what he says. And that has become his mantra in this country.
You
understand?
You called a name that concerns me, and I'll tell you why recently, how it concerns me. We don't have enough time on the show to even get into this. But sitting on your show, The Foundation, has been a privilege. And we've had many a discussion. We had called this individual the ventriloquist, the puppet master, etc. We saw a matter of disrespect from the former prime minister against his other former prime minister. And there was a slogan, one and done. Based on the one and done, I saw that the last prime minister formally approached the previous papa or big prime minister and said, you know, I want you to forgive me. That's what I got out of the whole book signing interview situation. I don't feel as if that forgiveness ever took place, because during the convention, which I was also a part of with Howard Grant, and you were there too, Leonard, so I apologize. I saw where this individual came forward to ensure that he got what he said he was because going to get, which was one and done. Now, my issue is this, Howard Grant. After he got the gift of one and done through persuading and through influence, he, to me, disappeared and left the pawn that he used to kill the knight. He just left the pawn there on the chessboard and said, I got my checkmate.
No, but it's,
you better get yours.
No, but you can't make a determination as to what Hubert Ingraham is used and identified as. He's a part of a political war chest, right? He's a part of a war chest that the Free National Movement used to get over the mark. When they find themselves up a very steep hill, it might be smooth, and they find themselves sliding back down, they have to go into their war chest.
Is that an honorable position?
That is an extremely honorable position. The only reason that they can use him is because he has political collateral. That's it. He has political collateral. If you want to be very clear and have a clear, honest conversation, for the majority of persons who voted for Michael Pintard probably don't know half of those people.
So, okay.
Not from a personal level. He's been the chairman. He's been this. He's been that. But there have been people who came out of the woodworks to ensure that Hubert Ingraham words doesn't fall on deaf ears. It doesn't go to naught, right? So they voted former Prime Minister Minnis out based upon this push that Hubert Ingraham did and say, this is our man, this is the team for us to be able to pull forward. You don't need to see the war chest open when there is a lull period. When you see 2026 come and he's gone and he's mended and he's feeling strong and he's hitting political campaigns and stages, so forth and so on, and he's got everything is good, then you'd recognize where his strength resides.
So the idea,
I believe his collateral has diminished to one constituency. I don't think he has the strength to push the F&M over. So he's going to have to, in my personal humble opinion, the former prime minister is going to have to take his efforts and identify a candidate that he could be able to push forward. And in one constituency. That means, this is what you and I said this, and Leonard, we had this conversation.
We did
have this conversation. He needs to look at one candidate, and let's call hypothetically Dwayne Sands, and put Dwayne Sands in North Andres, uses influence in Abaco, and uses influence in North Abaco to get Dwayne over the mark.
So listen, this is what
this is just a hypothetical conversation.
But see, now we're talking now about the ideas, which I called lies, but he said ideas. So if you put the ideas with Hubert Ingraham, you're saying that that would not be sufficient for the entire party to be victorious.
You could perceive it as lies, and let's not say lies. You could perceive it as fairy tales. That's a better word. Because you cannot take the traditional stance of Hubert Alexander Ingraham and mix it with this progressive technological savvy concept of what Michael Pintard is seeking to say and try to fuse it and say, this is what we're going to see. That is all wineskins, new wine. It's going to fall apart.
Well, you know, Leonard, I want to get your reflection on that. And for our last 5 minutes, this is what I want to do. Howard Grant, are you having a show tomorrow?
No.
It's Tuesday. It's a family. Tuesday, yeah. Tomorrow as well?
Tomorrow you're off. Tomorrow's a holiday.
So you're off tomorrow?
I'm off tomorrow.
Okay. And then so you come back on Tuesday?
On Tuesday.
So we look forward to what on Tuesday?
Tuesday we're dealing with Yamacraw. We're dealing with Yamacraw constituency and another one. I'm going to be able to talk about those things. But I'd like you to join me. I think I'm going to have the member of Parliament. I'm going to invite you. So I would invite my good friend Leonard too, but this is the middle of the week.
That's the middle of the week. I don't do politics during the week.
Yamacraw would be the member of parliament, Zane Lightborn.
Yeah.
Who succeeded Ezra Johnson.
Zane is a good man.
And then, Leonard, how are you looking for your show on Thursday? You want to give us a little backdrop on that before we get out of here?
I think we can delve into, again, how things should work through the building application process.
What time is that going to be?
And that's at 6:30. And I just want to say...
On Thursday.
I just want to say for all those who may not understand that we are still required to submit a building permit to build homes, despite the fact that thousands of homes have been built over the last 5 years without a permit and without persons owning the land. That is not the way they do things in the Bahamas. So don't follow your neighbors who do that.
Okay. So listen to these gentlemen Tuesday with Howard Grant, the foundation, from 12 to 2. 12 to 2, speaking about Yamacraw, where it sits a progressive...
Mike Allen Yamacraw.
Mike Allen Yamacraw.
Yeah,
but listen, you know, Mike Allen has a huge issue. My cousin called me up, and he was fuming. My cousin McPhee, and I ain't calling you for his name. They know you're crazy anyhow because you got to be my family. You know, crazy is who we are. But the airport in Miguana, you know, the people are still crying. We need a decent looking airport. But people say, hey, this government is doing well. It's
Tell
doing
cousin
well.
Call on Tuesday.
So, cousin, you got to call in Howard Grant Show 12 to 2 on Tuesday, and we're going to deal with that
airport.
Problem we got in Miguana.
Ain't nobody can put the airport for 12 years down there.
What happened?
Ain't nobody can put the airport down there for 12 years.
What do you mean for 12 is 300 or strong? You don't watch a movie 300
days. And you're putting in 25 million on that one.
You don't want to make water to turn this country upside down.
300 yards?
Well, listen to me, boy. Don't fool with us. Use Andrews, man. Don't fool with us. Yeah. We will take Andrews and we will tear that apart. We will split Andrews in three for you. North, Central, and South, if it ain't that already.
I didn't barely get there. Boy, nigga, the prime minister. You talk with y'all 300.
Listen, folks, this is Remark. I'm your host, Garth Maynard Roseborough. We've had a great day today. I'm just privileged. I've had Howard Grant, the host of the foundation, and Leonard Sands. He's been with us. Robin Dawn Lines did text in. She was a part of the youth parade, and she was surrounded by young people. They did not release her. And so by the time we got well and started and established, she was not able to make it. And so we look forward to her joining us in a few weeks on, I think it's Life After Death is the program. We can talk about life insurance and the probate situation. What does it mean to probate? Next week, we have Dr. Marvin Smith dealing with pill or poison. We're talking about the pharmaceutical industry versus the natural health industry. And he will be co-hosting here with me next week right here on Remark. Listen, we had a great time. Just stay tuned. I think Lady T is next. Have a great holiday, everyone. Be safe. Do not drink. Do not drive. You can drive, but you can't drink and drive. And for those people who are going through any type of issues, man, reach out to a pastor, reach out to a counselor. If you're going through some terrible times right now, some stressful times, there are others out there who are willing to listen to you. But remember, in whatever you do, the creator of the universe made you a Bahamian, and you can be proud to live in the best country in the world. Have a good one, Bahamas, and take care.
Oh, when the rain falls, all now, it won't fall on one man's house. Stop, remember that. When the rain falls, it won't fall on one man's house. Stop, it's singing. So oh, much very much, to say so right very now. Much, oh, so much, very much, to say. They got so much things to say right now. Yeah, they got so much things to say. Hey, but I and I no come to fight flesh and blood. Spiritual wickedness in I and no places. So why they fight? You don't stand firm and give God thanks and praises. I and I no expect to be justified by the laws of men.